Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the one. This is absolutely the one. Oh, wait, no, it isn't. Tell you what are you doing for December the 9th? What? Genocide Prevention Day. What are you going to do? How are you going to prevent it? What's wrong with you? Look, I've got massive news I'm going to share with you today. This is news I've been sitting on for months, and I'm finally unveiling it for the first time, unless you listened to Audio Freaks this morning, in which case you already know. Sorry about that. Coming up in a bit, we've got Mick Wright, and I think I caught and edited out all the swears, which is good news. But yeah, the big news is that, well, really, there may be a bit of you that's thinking, well, why has he restarted the podcast? Why now? Why now, Jake? Well, obviously, politically, it's a fascinating time. But the real reason is that I am about to embark on an absolutely monumental project. So from December the 19th, I'm going to be on Jack FM doing breakfast for the next 2 weeks after that. So that's right the way across Christmas or Christmas. It's up to you. I'll be on Jack FM every morning, I think 7 till 10, and then we might move to 9 till 12 at some point. Not sure. After that, on January the 2nd, I am doing, I'm so excited, on BBC Radio 4 Extra. I'm going to be doing a pilot 3-hour live show, strong emphasis on comedy, every weekday evening for the whole month of January. It's so thrilling. It's going to be called Jake Yap's Unwinding. The idea is it's sort of gearing down across the evening, but it's going to be amazing. We've got some just tremendous people booked. Harry the Piano, friend of the podcast, of course. He's going to be putting in a couple of turns. We've got some amazing things that we're going to be doing. And here's why this podcast has been resurrected. And I'm sorry to have done this to you, but at least now you know, and maybe it will make you an excited participant. This is a lab. This is where I'm sort of experimenting with ideas with a view to then taking them forward to this massive show. I can tell you I'm going to be doing it. I had my first practice in the studio yesterday, and it's Scott Mills' studio. And if you can think of any, I want to leave him a little gift every day, just a little token, just a little something to try and endear myself to him. I'm going to leave something on his... The first thing I'm going to leave is a metaphorical chocolate on his metaphorical pillow. Wait, it's not metaphorical chocolate. So if you have any thoughts, let me know. Not today at swanburst.com. It's so exciting, and I've been sitting on this for so long, dying to tell you, and now you know. Hey, this podcast alone, I have to say, is doing pretty well. I'm thrilled that so many of you have returned. I mean, if you're listening, I guess you have. I just checked. We've had over 200,000 downloads of this podcast now. Wild applause, ladies and gentlemen. Wild applause. So, yeah, that's where it is. If you would like to play Celebrity Soup of the Day, I want to bed that one in because I'm fighting hard to get that one into Jake Yap's Unwinding on BBC Radio 4 Extra in due course. Let me know. It's not today at swanburst.com. We'll do it at some point next week. We've got some really nice emails. We've got some in the doc stuff. We've got some stuff about key changes. But now...
Every day the papers pump out endless streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda they will propagate. But who can better take the ramparts of the fourth estate?
Here we go. You ready?
Is this now the show?
Now it's the show. He's a jokester. He's a japester. Heart filled with merriment and love. It could only be Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Hello.
Hello, friend.
What the hell is that?
Now listen.
What is that voice?
Hello, darling.
That's horrible.
Hello, love.
I feel like that's like a 1970s thing you're doing.
That's exactly. I was just thinking, it's like a sort of someone who was a star in the 90s. Oh, wonderful times. We
it
had
feels
one.
A bit...
Lionel was there, and well, of course, Rolf. You know, yeah. It's that.
Yeah, it felt. I don't know. It felt. What did it feel like? It felt like. A little Russell Harty is what it felt.
He was more like that, wasn't he, Russell Harty?
Yeah, I don't know. Hello. There was something about it.
Yeah, Liza, of course. Liza, God, a lovely girl. as topical
think,
as ever.
I think, yeah. What must it be like to be your family?
It's exhausting. I know it's exhausting.
Must be very tiring.
They're like, oh. And, you know, when I land on something new, they're like, how long is this one going to last?
Yeah. I have that problem too.
Yeah. I mean, the day you read Giles Corran's back catalogue, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a bad day for your family. My pink clarinet. Yes. Do you want me to give it a blow?
It looks like a white clarinet in this camera, but there we go. I like it.
Thank you.
You can play that, can you?
Well, on a good day. So, I'm assuming.
Right, sorry.
I'm assuming you're up the O2 later.
Why would I be up the O2 later?
With your brother off of another mother. It's a World Cup screening with Dapper Laughs.
Dapper.
The geezer. He's only up the O2 for the World Cup. Oh, mate.
You lucky lady.
Mate, have you loved the World Cup? I have loved the World Cup. Everyone is so engaged with the World Cup.
I will say I've not watched a single minute of the World Cup.
No.
Although I did, apart from seeing... the clip of the celebration by God's perfect idiot, Jack Grealish, which was very beautiful.
There you go.
And I like that because he promised the young boy with cerebral palsy that he would do that celebration. Yeah. And that's good. Well done, Jack Grealish.
Yes.
I actually genuinely mean that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was happy to see England score a goal.
The other thing I enjoyed with Jack Grealish was they put out a little video. They're doing this sort of diary room thing with footballers. And they put a video out where he expressed his great delight and surprise at seeing a camel and how big a camel is. And it was just sort of beautiful. Because you just...
Yeah.
Whenever you hear Jack Grealish talk, you think, this is a man who, if he didn't have an astounding ability to play football, I worry about what he would do.
There would be nothing with it.
The world is every time he comes out of his house, the world is a fresh new surprise to him.
That's beautiful. You're right.
So, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. So I call him God's perfect idiot.
Yeah.
I mean that in the purest and nicest sense.
The universe found his role.
Yes. I still to find my own.
Well, let's find out what's been tickling your chuckle muscles this week. With a sideways look at the news and a askance glance at this week's headlines.
I'm back on BBC Three Counties Radio.
Never again, mate. Sorry. I've seen the internal mail. Yeah. So,
right.
Go on.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. What have I been talking about this week, Jake? Do you know?
The cheese. You've been talking about the cheese. Of course I've heard the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I was mollified.
You
building up to a frenzy. No, you didn't see the light change on my face on this video call. You didn't see me suddenly frantically getting up your brokenbottleboy.substack.com newsletter. I read it.
Yeah. Okay. Can you give me
details. I'll give you details. Yeah. It was a story about someone who the police force were gloating because they'd stopped someone from shoplifting some milk. And then there's a detailed thing about security tags being put on milk, and a spokesperson from the supermarket saying, oh, yeah, well, we didn't really necessarily mean to do that. It's just stuff that gets nicked a lot. And okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's close enough. Well, you've read the first two paragraphs, and I am I'm proud of you. It's good. We'll get you onto books you don't have to chew in. but into quick order. I'm not at all just here waiting for a call from John Holmes.
I got a score of 3 Graylishes there.
Yeah, you did. You did. The thing is, I know people think I'm being mean about Jack
Grealish. No, I know you. I know you're sincere. Yeah.
I think he's a nice boy. I do. A fun fact of the week from the news is that the world's oldest cat, according to the Guinness Book of Records, is 26 and was born on the same day as Jack Grealish. So there you go. Jack Grealish, the same age as the world's oldest cat.
Yes, and yet the cat is tidier about the house.
Who's to say? Anyway, back to hard cheese. Right, so yes, Glasgow North Police posted a picture on Twitter of a police officer with his arms crossed, looking very glowering, looking at 30 bottles of frozen milk. Mm. The caption didn't read as I had hoped it would. We estimate the street value of the semi-skimmed at around £25. instead, it said... two people have been arrested and charged for numerous thefts of milk.
Yeah. But anyway, it's been cut with skim milk.
Yeah, this is the thing. That's the hard stuff. But what the issue with this was, it was a story in the Times yesterday about the headline of the story was shops crack down on theft of butter. But the premise of the story was growing number of everyday groceries being security tagged as shoplifting increases amid the cost of living crisis. But when I looked into this story, basically this story was built upon previous stories, one on Mail Online, the other on Cornwall Live, which the Mail Online was reporting about a co-op store where security tags had been placed on washing machine tablets, and Cornwall Live was reporting on a branch of Tesco in the Cornwall area who had put some security tags on milk. Came out from both Co-op and Tesco that they don't generally do this, and it wasn't a UK-wide policy. And Co-op had said it's seen no rise in instances of theft. So when you look at this, it's interesting because where's the Times story coming from? It's coming from other stories, from other papers. And even then, it's a bit sort of dubious. The Office of National Statistics has said that shoplifting's increased 18% year on year to the end of June. So there is a rise in shoplifting.
So there is growth in the UK. There is growth.
There is growth. There is something happening there. But the thing that I actually got into about this is this story would have been a story that I didn't really... I'd have just read and thought, okay, interesting. But what bothered me about this story is later on in the piece, after a paragraph that ended,
I didn't read that far. Yeah.
Security measures have raised concerns on social media that people are so desperate for food they're being forced to steal. However, others, including some people claiming to work in stores, have said that products are often stolen by small-time criminals who then sell the items door-to-door or in pubs.
Right, So I remember you then saying, I've worked in dodgy pubs where that happens, mate. I'm street. I'm real. I remember that bit.
No. So the journalist has set up two sides of this debate on social media, right? But we then get a colour quote, which is like, you know, what you put in a story to, you know, here's someone's opinion.
Right.
But it's introduced like this. One commentator on Twitter discussing Co-op's use of security boxes for £3 boxes of Daz wrote, anyone who thinks shoplifters are desperate people stealing to survive, never been in a rough working class pub on a Friday night, seen them flogging cheese and packs of bacon. So I thought, I want to see who is this commentator on Twitter? So I looked it up. Commentator is a pseudonymous Twitter account using the display name Douglas Bader Meinhof, who sent a tweet in reply to another person's tweet on October the 11th. So the journalist writing this has had to really go back and look for this to find the quote that works.
It's over a month and a half.
And the account that sent this has 35 followers, and at the time of writing, the tweet had one like. So you can't really say this represents...
finger on the pulse there.
You know, even a sort of a thing that's picked up a lot of attention or support from others. So I asked Andrew Elson, who's the consumer affairs reporter for The Times, said, I can see you've included this tweet for colour, but do you think this meets the standard to be included in a national newspaper story? And so he told me, he said, I presented both sides of the debate that appeared on Twitter related to this subject. I chose the quote for no reason other than it was the most colourful one in that thread. You appear to be trying to find a conspiracy theory where none exists. Do you think my article is unbalanced? And the answer, of course, is I do think the article is unbalanced because by introducing that particular quote from that side of the argument, it gives the reader the impression that that is the perspective that the Times supports more, even though the writer claims he doesn't think that at all. And also, you know, this is just some guy, right?
Yeah.
Some person making a claim. But the way it's introduced in the newspaper article and in the online version is a commentator on Twitter, right?
Yes.
It doesn't say a Twitter account with 35 followers.
Yeah, a commentator sounds quite high status, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's not that I'm saying that the number of followers you have on Twitter correlates to the value of your opinion, you know, because the counterpoint to that is Piers Morgan. but this is a problem, a really big problem with national newspapers. Mm. They do this a lot. You know, in introduction of just grabbing some comment that someone has said on Twitter or a handful of comments, many are often from tiny accounts which have had no engagement and presenting them as a significant viewpoint.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big problem with this story as well, and people can, like, I would encourage listeners to go and read the actual original Times story, which I link and without the paywall, so you can read the full story, is that the problem with stories like this is they have an ideology to them, but the people who write them utterly deny that they have an ideology. So when I said, you know, I had this back and forth with Andrew Elson, he said, I feel your criticism is unjustified, shows more about your politics and agenda than mine. I strongly suspect that had I included a quote only from the other side of the Twitter thread, you'd not be claiming my story was unbalanced and would not be making a fuss out of it on Twitter. And that is so interesting to me in the way that it's framed, right? I'm making a fuss because I'm saying, hang on.
Yeah.
I don't believe your story's balanced. And it's also interesting how this is kind of an irregular verb, you know? Mm. He has a view. I have an agenda. He's unbiased. I've got politics.
Yeah.
And that is a big problem when we have journalists. They have this, who have this feeling that they are, that there's no sense of ideology or bias coming through in their work because they've said, well, one side says this, the other side says this. Yeah, but then you've only quoted from one side.
Yeah.
That story doesn't include any commentary from, for instance, experts at poverty charities.
Sure.
There's this quote from this anonymous Twitter account and a quote from an anonymous supermarket executive.
Right.
Saying, oh, yeah, this is a problem, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, Andrew Elson says, well, you know, this executive, I couldn't quote him by name because he's being very honest with me. And I can accept that, you know, someone in a senior job.
Yeah, you protect your sources and all that, yeah.
But there is no voice other than the voice of industry and the voice of someone saying, well, I've been in a lot of pubs and I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, you know, I can pull anecdote out and say I've worked in pubs and drunk in pubs in the past where blokes, almost always blokes, came in to flog hooky meat. I told you
that bit was in the article. I did read the whole article.
Oh,
so there.
Ready meals. But here's the thing, right? There's two things with that. One is I can assume that those were stolen, right? But as someone mentioned to me on Twitter the other night, last night they worked earlier in their career, worked in a power plant, right, where people were entitled to a pint of milk a day if they worked in a particularly hot area of the plant. And what would happen is that guys at work there would save up their ration of milk for like a whole month and then go to the canteen, claim the whole ration of milk as they were entitled to, and then sell that milk, right? So that milk wasn't stolen and they were entitled to that milk.
And by then
they sold it to get some extra money. So
it would have been cheese.
No, they were waiting to get it.
I'm being funny.
But anyway, the point... Oh, it's very funny.
Thank you very much. I'm a funny guy. I'm a funny guy.
You are a funny guy, yeah, it's a fact. But the point is, what I just said about, oh, well, I've been in pubs and I've seen that happen, that's anecdote, right? It carries my perspective and my politics. It is not a fact and it doesn't...
Yeah. You wouldn't present it in the same light, is what you're saying.
It doesn't offer any real insight into what is happening now And also, it's very interesting, you know, we're at this point where we know we've got papers talking about the cost of living crisis, people really suffering, people struggling for money, struggling to feed their families. Yes, and then there's an uptick in shoplifting. You know, it's clear that there's some correlation there. But an inclusion of a quote like that, it strengthens this view that people will have of, oh, yeah, people are just doing it to sell it on. And even then, even if that's true, right, and people are stealing butter and milk to sell it on, got to be pretty desperate to go and steal and sell butter and milk.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not the actions of a criminal mastermind. You know what I mean?
No, and it's not what you'd call Big League. I think it's interesting. It kind of raises that question of people are always talking about sort of balance debate. And no one ever talks about proportionate coverage, where, you know, suddenly a very small minority view is given equal airtime or column inches, even though it's not an opinion held or shared as widely as the other view. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, exactly. It definitely does. And the other thing that is important to say is that while newspapers' circulations are in decline and their relevance and importance is in decline, they still are megaphones, and the shouts that they take are then amplified by the broadcast media. So the simple choice of a colour quote like this matters a lot, because it becomes an opinion presented in a national newspaper, and if that happens enough, that view becomes a settled view. You know,
yeah.
And that becomes, oh, this is what people think, and it gets repeated by other people, and then suddenly that is a very common view because people think, oh, well, that's what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, but for me, the thing that really gets me is the more than anything else is the response you get from criticism like this, where they just go, well, I'm very balanced, and you're a conspiracy theorist, and how could you ever suggest? And it's the thing is, I'm not suggesting that he actively went out to write a biased article.
Yeah.
What I'm suggesting is the choice of the colour quote buys in to a worldview that his paper, The Times, generally, you know, often has, which is to make excuses for the rich and the upper middle classes, and to, you know, quite casually cast aspersions about anyone who isn't in that class.
Yes.
You know, and that is not it's much more unconscious than conscious, and they hate it when you bring it up because you say, hey, this is odd that you've done this, and they say, well, yeah, no, I've never done that. Why would I do that? I'm very unbiased.
Yeah.
Well,
it's sort of like if you've got someone who's a media commentator, a sort of almost analyst of contemporary journalism, and a campaigner for justice for all, sort of has a conversation with a vegan who says, you know, why would you not extend that sense of equality and, you know, giving agency to the voiceless, to sentient creatures, and then they butt up against the limits of their own cognitive dissonance, Mick.
Well, no, you see, because,
oh yeah, go on.
I don't see that. I think there's a very strong argument from vegans about the way these industries work, and it's interesting you said that as if I've ever done that, because I've never done that. No, I think you have a strong argument there. Obviously, I do.
Yeah. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do, mate? What are you going to do, babe? What are you going to do? We just love the heck out of you. We've all come here because we love you.
But the thing is, I never argue that I don't have ideology or that I don't have a viewpoint. And that this is why I try to do a different kind
of
journalism, in the sense that I am very transparent about my beliefs and the worldview and the political worldview I come from. And I think a huge problem with a traditional journalism, the journalism that you would find in newspapers, is that they honestly do deny that the paper has any kind of corporate line.
Yeah.
And also, the thing about the corporate line at papers is, it is correct to say that when you're in a newsroom, people aren't saying, oh, you can't write this, you can't write that.
No.
It's more ambient than that.
Sure.
It's like cigarette smoke in an old pub. Or, you know, it's like absolutely in the walls.
Yes.
You know? You're aware of where of where the boundaries are. Nobody's saying them out loud.
Yes.
And that allows them to say, well, nobody tells me what to write. Yeah, but if you wrote the wrong thing, they pretty quickly make it clear that you did.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's the prawns in the curtain pole.
Yeah, yeah.
You can smell it, anyway, but you don't know where it is exactly.
That wasn't particularly
top.
But
top gags for Airbnb.
Had a lot of gags in it. So.
Yeah, I read that one. I didn't. What was that one?
Everyone's top pal, Sir Keir Starmer.
Oh yeah, he's a lad.
So last weekend there was a big Keir Starmer profile in the Times.
Was it the I kissed the Tory and I like to.
Yeah, the top line being I've kissed a Tory.
I've done tongues and everything.
Yeah, which is
I gave her a Bromley tickle.
Which is interesting. This is interesting because basically there is now a kind of a fixed structure for how you do a Keir Starmer profile. You say Keir Starmer had a distant father and a mother with a chronic illness. They kept donkeys. His dad was a tool.
My dad was a tool maker. Yeah, we never tired of that one.
He had music lessons with Norman Fatboy Slim Cook when Norman was still called Quentin. Keir had he was the inspiration for Mark Darcy and Bridget Jones. They keep saying that, even though Helen Fielding said many times that he wasn't. He plays five a side. He loves his children and he's very forensic. These are the bits you've got to get in there. That's it. That's the things. And his parents took their Great Dane to Buckingham Palace on the day he was knighted. That one is rolled out so often. It's like the equivalent of a Boxing Day afternoon showing of the Snowman. You get it every time. I never
got behind that. The Snowman.
Yes, I've kissed a Tory.
Yeah.
But
done the lot.
Done the lot. Freedom.
Okay, all right. Really marked down the last edit I had to do. All right, go on.
You got to edit that out. You have to edit out a reference to
freedom. I won't. Don't say it again. 2593. Go on. all right. Yeah, so yes, you put all the very good, all the trips. That's very good. You should do Keir Starmer in 90 seconds.
Keir Starmer's policy on, do they?
Oh, there's another one. 2609. Right. Thanks very much.
I'm gonna have to listen to this now to see if you have actually edited these out.
Of course I won't. I'll forget. It goes in one ear straight out the other. 2609. Right.
Anyway, also, well, you'll like it because he makes elaborate vegetarian meals, it says here.
Vegetarian's a cop out, mate. Right.
Which I thought was a very interesting when he says elaborate vegetarian meals. Because what does that mean?
It means hummus and tzatziki.
Does it make scale models of the Taj Mahal using a range of exotic produce? Or is it that he is like every other middle-aged man who's convinced that he makes a mean curry, but you must be able to handle a bit of spice? Because I think that's what he does.
Oh, no. There's a writer if it's too much. Very good. Thank you very much.
Read it. It's actually got jokes in it.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Quite a lot of jokes. I don't do any of them here.
No.
I just peck to you, really. I'm criticised for not being a vegan by my close personal friend.
He's
the yap.
He's the chuckle king. He's the lord of lols. He's...
I had a week off last week and it was and I sort of missed it, so there we go.
That says it all about you. I was thinking maybe we could do a new feature, right?
Oh god,
maybe we could do Corin Watch, you know, like Spring Watch. You could be, well, you can be YOLO. Why do I always have to be YOLO? You be YOLO, I'll be Chris Peckham.
YOLO.
2661.
Why do you think your listeners
because they listen with their children
about swear?
They listen with their children.
Well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't.
Mick Wright there. Great to talk to you. It's brokenbottleboy.substack.com.
Mick Wright, aka Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, aka Broken Bottle Boy.
So much work. Unbelievable. Pat's emailed, not today, at swanburst.com. Hey, Jake and members of the jury. Ah, yes, it's time for In the Dock. Should we have the jingle again? I can't be bothered. Anyway, he says, in reference to the Godfather trilogy, I defer to my learned friend Neil, who presented his case far better than I could. Also, in my opinion, he's spot on with his conclusions. Godfather Part 1 is all right, but overrated, I think. Part 2 is very good. But like Neil, I've heard that the third installment is cat litter, so I've never seen it. Hey, who's knocking cat litter? Oh, yeah, okay. Now, here is something, though, to consider in mitigation. The Godfather spawned a whole genre, not my word, of mafia slash gangster films, perhaps the most notable being Goodfellas, which is just great. But here's the thing. Goodfellas led to the creation of what is widely regarded as the greatest TV show of all time. Even as a huge fan of Star Trek TNG, another contender, I have to say I agree. The Sopranos is, for me, without doubt, almost perfection in television. It has the lot. Brilliant writing, great well-drawn characters, deep understanding of family dynamics, and it's fall-off-the-chair funny. Oh, Pat, I'm so sorry, all right? I've watched it all the way through twice, and I'm about to start again. It's the most sublime work. So, Your Honour, the best reason that The Godfather should be revered is The Sopranos, a real gem that never would have existed without The Godfather. I rest my case. You make a convincing point there! I guess that's the appeal. That's the Court of Appeal. The Sopranos, I've seen every episode except the last one. I was completely hooked, and then I didn't watch the last episode. Have you done that with anything? I think it started with Winnie the Pooh. My dad, he used to read me Winnie the Pooh, and he wouldn't read me the last chapter of The House at Pooh Corner because he was like, it's very sad, and I don't think, you know. And then I was frightened of the last chapter. So I never read it. And, you know, is that a thing for me now? There's another thing, I think, where I didn't watch the final episode. 6 Feet Under, maybe? Something like that. Do you do that? Is there anything that you've never seen the last episode of? Let me know. Not today at swanburst.com. And in the dock next, I think we should have the films of Pixar. Are you for? Are you against? And why? Let me know. Not today at swanburst.com. We'll assemble the Council for the Prosecution, Council for the Defence. And yes, I am road testing this as a format. Why? Martin got in touch on Twitter a lot. It's at Not Today Pod. He said, re-songs and key changes. The best writer of pop key changes has to be Nick Kershaw. Check out the analysis videos by Jonas Wolf on YouTube. I will, because I love Nick Kershaw. His songs really stand up, I think. I saw him on, you know, Top of the Pops, BBC 4. They do the pops, don't they? On a Friday night or something. And I was like, I was right to like this music. This was very good music. Excellent musics. Also, he sent a link to pitchforks that you can buy on Amazon. What? They're called hayforks. I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting, isn't it, that he could find them and I couldn't. They're watching you, you know. They're always watching you. They're always watching you. Anyway, I'm going to go. I've got plenty to do. I need to deal with this counterclaim appeal small claims thing that I'm going through. I went to the Citizens Advice Bureau after discovering that it would cost me £5,000 to get a legally drafted rebuttal. I went to the Citizens Advice Bureau in Bedford, walked in and said, hey, I've got this thing going on. And they said, oh, that sounds like it's a legal thing. I said, yes. Yes, that's right. I was like, what? Yeah, we don't really do that. I said, what? Do you work? I said, yes. And I was like, well, you could try another branch. I was like, what? When you work? I was like, well, I'm self-employed. And they're like, oh. I said, why does this... have to be where I work, that I have to go to the Citizen. I mean, yeah, it has to be somewhere. I was like, are you saying it has to be somewhere that I have a connection to use a Citizens Advice Bureau there? Yeah. I was like, so it's just luck of the draw what kind of Citizens Advice Bureau you get as to whether or not you can get legal advice. Yeah. And you can't help. No. Okay, great. I really enjoyed this trudge to the shopping centre. Hope you don't get turned into a calendar shop anytime soon. Also, thanks to Martin with the Christmas tat. Have you seen any Christmas-related tat? He saw a mullets calendar. Maybe we should do a best of the calendars. I don't know. I'm going to go for now. I'd love to do other things, but yeah, I do need to deal with other stuff. And I also need to set a Giles Corran column to music for coins for John Holmes. Long story. Have a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you on, I'm going to say Monday. Monday? Sure, Monday.
This has been a Swanburst Media production. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.